You know, saints, anything that I say is going to be anticlimactic today. Zerubbabel, you're good. You did a good job. Bless your heart. I really appreciate our young people. And while I'm speaking about our young people, any young people between the ages of 14 through 18 or would be interested in doing a Bible study or preparing for baptism, let me know. I have one of our young men came forward and he would like to be baptized. He wants to study. So if there are others who in that age group would like to participate in a study, come and see me. Karen, I'm happy to see you back. I'm sorry that you had that flu bug. I hope you didn't catch it from me when we sat together for lunch that day, because right after you came down with it. Now, I was thinking that I wasn't spreading anything, and I hope I wasn't, but I'm glad to see you're well and strong. And Daniel, boy, how nice it is to see you here this morning. God is good. I've been keeping up with you. I was talking with Gloria during the week, and she was telling me that the medical condition, it's looking better all the time, and that you hope to be well and strong soon. That is absolutely wonderful. Folks, I'm glad you're here. Our time is slipping away. Let me invite you to stand with me and take your Bibles. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. What's the next line? Okay. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. I choose to study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Let us pray. Loving Father, we approach your throne of grace, and truly we are thankful for the many blessings you bestow upon us. I ask now, Lord, as I stand in the pulpit today, that you would be with me and help my thoughts to be collective, and what I say, bring honor and glory to you. You know all about us, Lord. Just open our hearts now and our understanding. And let us leave this place knowing that we have been with Jesus. Bless us now. In his name we ask it. Amen. Amen.
Wow. I think when I talked with Alice during the week and I gave her the title for my sermon, I thought she was going to say, "Are you sure, Pastor?" But she is most gracious. She wrote down what I told her, but after I had talked with her, I says, well, maybe I should change it a little, and I changed it to God wants you. He wants us to be fat Christians. Now, folks, that's biblical. You laugh, but it is biblical. Open your Bibles to Psalm 92. That was our call to worship today, but I want you to go back to that psalm, Psalm 92. And I am using the King James Version of Scripture. And I'm going to begin in the 12th verse. Listen to the way that it reads there. It says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow up like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be what? Fat and flourishing. Talking about God's people, they shall be fat and flourishing. Verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age, Well, that is, I'm sorry. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age and shall be fat and flourishing. Boy, I'm messing up today, aren't I? Say a prayer. When you look at the Hebrew word for fat, the word is dashun, D-A-S-H-U-N. And that word in the original language is literally translated as fat. But you need to understand that this word fat, it literally means rich, fertile, satisfied, prosperous, robust, and abundant. The term used in Scripture is a symbol of health, excellence, and success. God wants you to be fat. In some of the other modern translations, you will find the word fat translated as abundant or rich or perhaps healthy. But it actually is a literal word fat, and it means all of those things. So let me share with you some thoughts from Scripture that will help you to be a fat believer. The Scripture likens the believer, the man or the woman who has been made right with God, to two different types of trees. A palm tree that flourishes and it puts its branches out. And then it speaks of a cedar tree that grows straight and tall. Now, the word flourish means to blossom, and it means to extend its branches outward. The word grow means to go upward. You see, one means to extend out, and the other means to extend upward. The palm tree, or the date palm, it was in Bible times, or what they're speaking about here, is one of the most important trees, not only in Bible times, but even today. The date palm provides shade, and it provides food. It's a wonderful tree. Now, here's the idea that we can find in the text. As believers, those who have a right relationship with God must extend outward and bring people under their shade. We are to let these people partake in our fruitfulness. On the other hand, to grow upward towards God is not just a matter of God or God and you in this relationship. It's us ministering to other people. It is discipling. We're talking about discipleship in our Sabbath school lesson this quarter. Let me share with you a problem that I see sometimes in Christians. Christians usually want to be cedar Christians. They don't want to be palm Christians. They want to be cedar Christians. They want to get off in their little corner and have an experience with God. They want to study deeply the Word. They want to pray, they want to praise, and all those things are wonderful, but they have basically lost sight of God's plan for their life. God does things in you so He can do them through you to others. Listen, church, if you are not blossoming outward and reaching upward and bringing people under your shade, if you're not teaching people, if they are not being blessed because of your faithfulness in study of God's Word, then you're not following God's plan. And if you're not following God's plan, you're missing a great blessing. Folks, it's not just about you. It's not just about me in our isolated corner having a relationship with God. It's about God doing something through us that we can be a help to others. Yes, God wants us to grow like the cedar trees toward Him. We are to be spiritual giants, but He also wants us to be like palm trees. He wants us to spread our branches outward and provide shade and food to others. Our life in Christ begins with flourishing and fruitfulness, and it should end that way. Verse 14 says, "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourish." Even in old age, flourishing and producing fruit, that's God's plan for our life. Your years may have been many on this planet, and maybe you don't have many left. But you know what? You can be fruitful even in the end of the race. That's God's plan for your life. You know, we have bought into this idea of this throwaway society. You know, we use things and we just throw it away. And people think when they reach a certain age that they can be rocking chair Christians, giving the responsibility to someone else. And they begin to think, well, I have done my share. I've given of my means. I've given of my time. I have worked with others. But folks, that's not God's plan. You are not throwaway Christians. The longer you have been a Christian, friend, the more you have to give. And the more you have walked with Christ, the more you can impart with others. As we grow older, the more responsibility we have, the more responsibility is ours to mentor others and bring them under the shade and let them participate in the good fruit of our life. It's not that you shrivel up and become useless as life goes on. You become more and more useful. I look at members in our church and they continue to flourish and they continue to bear fruit. And I can name members in our church right here. If you are going to be fat, you have to be planted. In verse 13, it says, you have to be planted in the house of the Lord. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, the verse says. We can't flourish and be fruitful and be fat if we are not planted. And it's not being just planted anywhere. It is being planted in God's house. Our faithfulness, our fruitfulness depends on being planted in the house of God. God's house, according to the New Testament, refers to the church. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, the verse says, "So that you know how to conduct yourself in God's house, which is the church of the living God." You cannot be fruitful if you are not significantly connected to a worshiping community of believers. Can you imagine the problems I had when I was a kid, you know, dealing with dyslexia? My poor mother, bless her heart, she struggled with me learning to read and, you know, to enunciate some of these words. And today, I'm having problems. Oh, bless your hearts. You have to be connected with God, or you can't be fruitful. Isaiah 37, verse 31 says, and the remnant, who is the remnant?
We are.
And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall take root downward and bear fruit upward, the text says. If you don't put your roots downward, you can't bear fruit upward. Psalm 1, 1 to 3 says, blessed is he that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Verse 3 says, he is planted by the rivers of living water and brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also doesn't wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. For a tree to be prosperous and to be fruitful, it must be planted. And those rivers of water, friend, are found in the house of God. You read about it in Ezekiel 47 and Revelation 22, verse 1. That river of life gives life to everything. Now, I'm sure that in the summertime or in the springtime, you have seen flatbed trucks going along the road or the highway or pickup trucks or trailers, and they've got trees on them, and their roots are being exposed to the elements. And folks, the tree with its roots that is exposed to the elements are susceptible to heat, to drought, to pests, to disease. And it's also true of believers. Believers who have their roots exposed are Christians that haven't put their roots down deep in the house of God. These Christians are much more susceptible to the winds of strife, and it seems those principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world, those wicked spirits are keeping them busy with nothingness. Don't tell me I'm going to lose my voice on top of it now. Oh. I want to share with you Alice, this is the first. Write that down. I want to share with you this morning three indicators for having a good root system. These are the ABCs of being planted in God's house. In order to be planted in God's house, A, we have to attend church. And I want to tell you, folks, attendance at church is vital. Attendance at church is vital. There are people who, if you were to ask them, what is their church affiliation? They would answer, oh, I belong to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But they never come. Oh, my pastor is Pastor Matrim, but Pastor Matrim never sees them in church. Folks, you got to, if you want your roots to go down deep, you got to attend church. Three pastors were visiting for lunch, and they were discussing. Well, this I brought some water, but thank you. I just thought of a toast. You know, King Arthur and his knights around the round table. Every morning, King Arthur and his knights would make say a toast. Did you know that? They would do it with water. Now, many of what you don't know, King Arthur and his knights, they were Christian. And the toast was, here's to clean hands and a dirty Bible. Clean hands and a dirty Bible. Now, three pastors. Three pastors were visiting together over lunch, and they were discussing what they were going to do about the bats that infested their churches.
You see, the bats had got up into the rafters in the attic of the churches, and usually when the services started, the organ started to play, and the people started to sing, these bats would get, I don't know, they would start to move around, and they would make a big racket up in the ceiling. One pastor said, I got so frustrated, I got the shotgun out, and I began to shoot at those things, but the only thing I ended up doing was putting holes in the roof, because when the shooting was over, the things came back. Kind of reminds me of the critters we have in our church, the other guy said. We put out traps and we caught them alive, and I took them 50 miles out of town and they beat me back. The other pastor, I'll say he was a Baptist. The other pastor says, well, we got rid of ours and we hadn't had a problem since. And they said, how do you do it? Well, he said, we had a special baptismal service for these bats and made them members, and we never seen them since. Folks, to be planted in the church, you have to attend. To put your roots down deep, you have to attend, and it is there you will be nourished by the waters of life. I'm talking about the ABCs. B, become involved. First, when I came here, I asked you to do something for me. Do you remember what it was? Okay, now, because I'm deaf, I don't know what you're saying. Shout it out to me. Number one was? I ask that you would pray for a double portion of the Holy Spirit. You remember that? And that, folks, that's biblical. Remember Elijah and Elisha? And Elisha said to Elijah, I want a double portion of your spirit. And God honored him. In fact, Elisha's ministry was much more flourishing than what Elijah's was. And Elijah was taken to heaven in a whirlwind. The second thing I asked us that we should pray for was personal and corporate revival. We want revival in our own hearts, don't we? Amen. We want revival to take place in our church. And the third thing that I asked you to do was pray for a ministry that you can be involved in the church. Pray for a ministry that you can be involved in. Serve somewhere. Get involved in ministry in your church. Find a ministry and then involve others in it. C, contribute. Give literally of your time, your talents, and your treasures. We have to give to God liberally our time, talents, and treasures. You see, this helps fulfill the vision of the church. When you get planted in it, it will cause you to be fat, flourishing, and fruitful. Look with me at Proverbs 15. We come now to the second area I want to talk about today, and this will also propel you into a place of fatness, richness, and success. Proverbs 15, verse 30. How about somebody standing up and reading that text for me? Proverbs 15, 30. Thank you, sister. You may have a translation that says that it makes your bones healthy. There's a threefold application about a good report. The first aspect of a good report is hearing that good news. And that's what is implied
in the text. Good news makes the bones fat, makes you happy. When you hear a good report, it can encourage you. It can lift you up. The Bible also in Proverbs 25:25 says, a good report from a far country is like cold water to a weary soul. It refreshes you. The Apostle Paul said on a number of occasions that he was encouraged. He was refreshed by the good report that was brought to him from some other churches. It lifted his spirit. We are living in a world that accentuates the negative. Sometimes you have to go out of your way to hear a good report. Hearing all the negative stuff all the time can affect you in a negative way. I recently read about leaders in a large corporation, and this one leader, his responsibility was over all the mail that came in to this corporation. And apparently they had lots of it. It may have been the post office. They didn't tell me. It says, after a period of time, the people that dealt with the complaint mail, they had a sour attitude about the corporation, and they started having disciplinary problems with those employees who worked in this department. Now, the CEO of the corporation, they looked at the problem that they were having, and he says, from now on, you will only work in the mail department that deals with the negative mail or the complaints that come in for 12 weeks. After 12 weeks, we will rotate you around. And do you know what happened when they rotated them around and they began to look at the other mail? It changed their attitude. There was no more problems with the disciplinary actions having to be taken, or there was no more problems with the employees being negative about the company. We live in a world that accentuates the negative. You have to strive to hear sometimes the positive things. We are inundated with murder and mayhem, sex, war, famines, earthquakes, disasters, betrayal, corrupt politicians. It fills our newspapers and televisions. And by proportion, the good is not put on the television or in the newspapers. But I believe the good still outweighs the bad that is taking place. But the bad causes a gravitational pull towards the negative. That's why, church, it's so important that you be able to come to church to listen to something that is positive. Listen to the good news about Jesus, how he loved people and how he gave his life for them. We preach the good news, don't we? But folks, if we're going to preach it successfully, we must hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. I mean, every Sabbath, you got to be in church if you want fat bones. But there is a second aspect to this. It's not just enough to hear it. You also have to think about it. You need that good report, and then you need to take time to reflect on that good report, and then you got something to share with others. Now, turn in your Bibles, or open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Notice the progression. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, when you get a good report, We are to think about it. We are to reflect on it. We are to meditate upon it. And the result is given in verse 9. It says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the God of peace shall be with you. If you want to have fatness in your bones, you have to express this goodness that you know about. You have to express, you have to share this good news with others. There's a wonderful story in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And I know our time is slipping away now. Numbers, chapter 13. This story is about the Israelites. They've been in Egypt as slaves now for 400 years. And God is in the process of delivering them. Yeah, open your Bibles to chapter 13. You see, this was the generation that God had chosen to possess the promise that he had made to Abraham. So he's taking these people now out of Egypt, taking them to the promised land. They are going to possess the land that flows with milk and honey. That's what God promised them. And to get to the borders of the promised land, this is what God says in verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto thee, or give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And the Lord says, choose a prince from each one of the tribes, 12. Send these spies out to check out this promised land. Look at that, verses 25 through 33. The place was called the Brook Ishcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now, that fruit, just a bunch of grapes, they had to put them on a pole, and two men had to carry them. That was a big bunch of grapes, wasn't it? Verse 27, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there were giant, and there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and as so we were in their sight. All the spies brought back an excellent, all the spies came back with the exception of Joshua and Caleb and brought back a negative report. We are not able, we can't do it, they said. Now, it was God who said it was an evil report. It was a report of doubt and unbelief, a report that was contrary to what God had promised them. It was contrary to the report that God had given them, and God called it evil. It was not a problem to report that there were giants in the land, because there were. It was not a problem to report that the cities were walled, because they were. That was a fact. The problem came when they said, we cannot do it, we are but like grasshoppers. What they had done, you see, was factor God and his promise out of the equation. Do you know what? Joshua and Caleb echoed what God said, but the other spies said, we can't do it, we're like grasshoppers. And the people having been experiencing that, and the people have been now experiencing that grasshopper complex, and they begin to murmur and complain. But the truth of the matter, it was the Canaanites, it was the Amalekites, it were these other people, these other nations who were shaking in their boots, because they already had a report of what God did for the children of Israel in bringing them out of Egypt. They were scared spitless. Now here's the people. They have this grasshopper complex. We are like grasshoppers. The Israelites, you see, they believed the lie and it affected the whole congregation. Chapter 14, the first three verses. And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And then Joshua and Caleb speak up, verses 6 through 10. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passeth through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now, can you imagine what's happening? Joshua and Caleb brought a good report. They agreed with God. And I don't know if you noticed it or not, but the whole nation opposed them. In fact, all the congregation shouted, stone them. Sometimes when you make a stand to stand with God, to trust in his word, it seems like the whole world is against you. But you need only make the choice. Whose side am I on? When it comes to God's word, the majority is seldom right. My. Look what God did. He says, none of you,
only the teenagers and Joshua and Caleb are going to come in. And for the next 40 years, the children of Israel did laps around Mount Sinai until every one of them died, with the exception of those that were teenagers upward. Friends, there's lessons that we can learn from reading our Bible. What was Israel's problem? They began to murmur in Numbers 11, verses 4 through 6. You remember the story. And God sent them quail. Remember, they wanted the foods, the leeks, you know, all the food. They wanted flesh food, and God sent them quail. In fact, he sent so much quail that it says it ran out their noses, or out their nostrils. Hebrews chapter 3, speaking of this event. First John, Hebrews chapter 3. Verses 7 through 14. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always hear in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you hardened. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Do you think God had that written knowing that we living in the last days might have a tendency to murmur? I'm too old, it's too cold, it's too wet, I don't feel like it, my bones are aching, I wish we could have the preacher every week, let someone else do it, I've done my part, don't ask us together in groups and pray in church, don't have responsive readings in the church, we're not Catholic, I can stay home and watch 3ABN, such and such a person is a fanatic, I don't like his preaching, shall I go on? Now, folks, I've heard these things. Excuses. Murmuring. Lord, have mercy upon us. Numbers 14:2. It says, all the people died except the young people. God says the only ones that are going to get in are Joshua and Caleb. Do you know why? They talk different from everyone else. They add a good report. Now, just to move this along, I'm going to jump forward 40 years into the future. Open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Verses 6 through 10, and I love this story. This is 40 years now into the future. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again, and it was in my heart. Now this is Caleb that's speaking. Nevertheless, my brethren that went with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord had kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He's 85 years old. Verse 11 and 12 says, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, and my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Caleb is 85 years old, and he is filled with the same strength that he had when he was 40, and he says, let me have these giants, give me these strong walled cities. And Joshua says, go get them. They are your inheritance. Here's the lesson for today. Your love for the truth should be as strong today as it was when you first experienced hearing this message about Jesus. You should not lose that first love. So basically, it's almost like Caleb is saying, let me have these backslidden church members. Now, we should be saying that. Let me have those backslidden church members. Let me start a visitation program. Let me go bear witness to my neighbor. Let me become involved in ministry. Give me all of Aiken County. Church, when your mouth and your heart get together based on the promises of God, power is released. When we hear a good report and meditate upon that good report, we must also bear witness to the good report as if it will, because it will make you fat. Here's the problem, though. Oftentimes, we only accentuate and dwell on the bad reports. When we dwell on these negative reports, these negative reports in most instances, they become self-fulfilling prophecies. I'm not doing good, am I? Self-fulfilling prophecies. I can easily tell you those who are not going to prosper because they talk negative. Oh, if I could only talk like him. Oh, if I had her money, it can't be done. You know what I mean, don't you? My observation over the years, the people who are most consistently successful and happy are those who seek to speak that which is positive. Let me go back in closing to Hebrews chapter 13. Verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do to me. Did you catch it? What a positive report. I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say,
The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me. You want to be a fat Christian? You must be planted in the house of the Lord. Then search out the good report. Don't look for the gossip. Search out the good report. Folks, we just finished our prayer meeting, concluded this book, Last Day Events. It was excellent stuff. It is so positive that Brother Don is going to do it, not next week, 3 weeks' time, he's going to begin the series all over again at night for the night program. I'm going to use the book, Last Day Events. Everybody should read this book. It's good stuff. You want to be a fat Christian? Be planted in the house of the Lord and search out the good report. And then share that good report with someone else. May God bless you. And thank you for being patient with me today. In Jesus' name, amen.